Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You
don't have any idea why
we're so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. You may have noticed that when you hang out with a bunch of people, they often tell stories. They could give you a piece of information, and they don't. They tell you a story. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Made possible in part by Lakeway Regional Medical Center, providing comprehensive care for brain and spine conditions. Today, why we tell stories.
So the fundamental question is, why are stories so central to the way that we communicate? And what is it about those stories that helps us to learn new things? To get started, right, one of the things we need to know about memory is that memory is all about the connections between pieces of information. So I often like to say that you could think about memory as being like a bowl of peanuts, right? If you want to get a memory out and each memory is a peanut, if you grab a peanut, you have a peanut. And if you grab another peanut, you got another peanut. You grab another one, you got three peanuts at the end of this process. But if you poured caramel over the peanuts and let it harden a little bit.
That's a metaphor.
There you go. Now you pull out one peanut, you get like 10. You know, and so three grabs into the bowl and you're stuffed, right? So in a lot of ways, what stories do is that they pour caramel over all the peanuts. Because they provide all of these connections among pieces of information so that if you get at any one of them, the entire structure comes along.
That is a delicious explanation. Thank you for that. Well, you know, it is an interesting thing, as Art was just pointing out, about how much storytelling is a part of human conversation. No matter how mundane this topic may be, I mean, we tell stories about who we met and what they said and what happened.
Across every culture.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that Art has said on a number of occasions, which I think connects so many ideas that we talk about on the show together, is that we're trying to make sense of the world. Our brains are trying to make sense of the world. And one of the things that makes sense or helps make sense of the world is understanding causes and effects, meaning what led to what, led to what, led to what. And that's what stories are, right? I mean, things happen, and as a result of those things happening, some other things happen. And that sort of flow of time is a central part of how all organisms navigate the world.
That's right. And so it helps us to predict what's going to happen next. So there's all this great research that got done in the 1970s, which is an era that I like to refer to as when memory research was cool. Now, in this era, one of the first studies that got done looked at what do people remember about a story based on whether that story connects back to something familiar. And the something familiar was something that they called a schema. And so they would do these studies where they would give you these very odd, disconnected kinds of sets of sentences. Like, first you divide everything into piles. And then you take the things in the piles and you put them in the machine. But you have to be really careful to do it right. And they go on and on like this. And the whole time you're going, I have no idea what's happening here. And then there was another group of people who were told the same story, only they were told, this story is titled Doing Your Laundry. And now it's like, oh, you divide it into piles, you have to put it in the machine. I get it. Okay. And so the people who were told this was about doing your laundry, they remembered the whole story much better later because they were able to connect it to a story that they already had in memory. So we know that stories like that are great for memory, but we also know that they can sometimes cause problems.
Right.
Because they can lead you to remember things or predict things that don't happen and misremember them later.
I mean, one of the things that we've talked about in the past is that our memories don't typically have timestamps on them. So if I hear a very good story at one point in time, or I experience something, some flow of events at one point in time, and then at some later point, I experience something that would fit really well into that, even though those things did not happen contemporaneously, my memory will put those things together. Because again, what brains are trying to do is figure out how things make sense. And it's not a high fidelity recording device. I mean, there are things that get our attention or not in a story, because as Art was just pointing out with that illustration, because of their familiarity or their connectedness to something that's already in our heads, they get attention because they're surprising and something that's not expected. They might have some other feature that stands out in some way. But again, all these things that are getting our attention are not necessarily an allegiance to making sure we have a faithful memory of what we experienced. Yeah.
And we use these kinds of stories then in all sorts of situations. And some of them become the narratives that we tell about our lives, which don't necessarily have to be true. We give ourselves origin stories,
right,
that help to explain how we got where we are. And, you know, normally they have grains of truth in them. But they, you know, it's possible that they've been embellished, but it's possible that you've simply created a story that helps you to understand where you are right now. And they are truthful in their meaning, even if they're not necessarily truthful in the fine details of how life went in the past.
Yeah.
And then we begin to do this culturally. So we have all sorts of cultural stories because stories are so well remembered. And so, you know, if you think about the stories that, you know, if you grew up in the United States and you take American history in second grade, there's a lot of stories you hear about the founding fathers and the Revolutionary War and, you know, I chopped down that cherry tree and all sorts of other things that are known to be stories, not really truth. And yet we tell them as truthful stories, at least for a while, because they give us an appreciation at a level that's developmentally appropriate for, you know, being eight. For what it is that people in history did.
And this is one of the reasons that coincidences are so hard to cope with, because what we look for are the relationships between causes and events. We look for sequences of things that make sense. And there are a lot of things that are happening just randomly, haphazardly, that are based on nothing meaningful at all. But because we work so hard to try to make meaning about the things that we experience, we will make a story that says, well, the reason this happened is because this thing happened before that. And I mean, this is the way superstitions develop. You know, I know I need to dribble 5 times at the foul line because that increases my chances of making the basket. I mean, all that kind of stuff. It's all of a piece, right? That what we're trying to do is make connections between things. And our brains are perfectly happy to concoct a story that seems plausible, even though it's not true.
Next week, Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke continue the conversation about stories by asking why we tell ghost stories. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.